are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And thanks to those who joined me on the Locker Room app Tuesday night. We had some great conversations in there. And Vinny, I don't know if you put somebody up to this, but we had a listener come in there and talk in the Locker Room app and tell us about how great of a job we're doing. So I don't know who you convinced to join the Locker Room app to do that, but really do appreciate the feedback there, enjoying the show. So really great stuff on the Locker Room app, watching some of the game together. So we'll continue to do that throughout the season. Yeah, that was what I'm saying. Did you get a mom in there, a wife? I don't know who it was, but yeah, we got some great feedback. They actually said they like what you said. So yeah, it had to be somebody from your side.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I paid a couple of people to chime in. Glad that investment is paying off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously we'll recap Tuesday's game and give you some of our biggest takeaways. Before we do that, let me tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And obviously, with the minor league baseball season starting up, you're going to want to make sure to check out Locked On MLB Prospects. But Vinny, let's quickly get into Tuesday's game. Another heartbreaker for the Brewers. Another one-run loss. Had a chance there at the end and just couldn't come through. So another tough luck one-run loss. But again, the Brewers, first inning. It seems like every game now, Vinny, they threaten in the first inning. Wong starts off the game with a double. Shaw later brings him in on a single. And then they eventually load the bases with two outs but can't get anything else. And, I don't want to – harp on this at all or long, because I feel like I say it every podcast now, but they're so close in that first inning to just putting up a lot of runs, putting a lot of pressure on the other team, and they just can't get that big hit. Again, I'm glad they get one run in these first innings, but they have opportunities for more. Couldn't get it, especially against somebody like Aaron Nola. They had the opportunity to really put him on the ropes early, but couldn't. And what happens in the bottom of the inning? McCutchen leads it off with a homer to tie it right back up. So, and he did it again in the third inning as well to give the Phillies a 2-1 lead. McCutchen really has Eric Lauer's number. Lauer did get him back later in the game with a strikeout, which was nice to see. But the McCutchen homer makes it 2-1, and then things really started to get dicey in this third inning. Well, after the McCutchen homer, Hoskins singled, but Billy McKinney did a great job. He cut the ball off in left field and was able to get it back in. And then Wong made a great backhanded scoop and tag to keep Hoskins from getting two. And you felt like at that point, maybe things were going to settle down for Lauer in the inning. He's going to be able to get out of it, just giving up the home run, the one run to McCutchen. But this is where the wheels fell off. Travis Shaw committed an error at third. It was a pretty hard hit ball, just went under his glove, but that's one he's got to be able to snag and make that play. And then the Phillies got a couple of bloop hits before Brad Miller came up and ambushed a fastball up for a no-doubter, making it a 6-1 Phillies advantage. And at that point, it was really a heartbreaker. I mean, four unearned runs there, going down 6-1 early. The Phillies got Nola on the mound. Honestly, it just felt like it was over at this point. Both pitchers really settled in after that. I thought Lauer did a great job of bouncing back after things got away from him in that third. Again, four unearned runs. He's got to be a little depressed about that. But he was able to settle in, ended up going six innings and had seven strikeouts. Gave up eight hits, but I didn't think too many of them, except for the home runs, were hit particularly hard. But we've seen it from this Brewers team over and over again. They don't give up. Even after those four and runs, the Phillies take a 6-1 lead. They keep getting after Nola. And in the sixth inning, they load the bases with one out. Again, Nola's pitch count's getting up, climbed well over 100. And Vinny, I thought this was a big spot in the game. They had Nola on the ropes, a chance to get him out of there. Bases loaded, one out. But McKinney comes in, he flies out, and then Nola gets Nottingham to strike out to end it. I thought this was a big point in the game. If even the Brewers could just scratch across a run there, I was talking with those on the locker room app. Really, if you just scratch across one there, two would have been great. Then you feel like you're back in this game. So, Vinny, I thought this was a missed opportunity for the offense, a chance to possibly get Nola out of the game, get into that Phillies bullpen, which is tired, but they just weren't able to come through and get anything else going there.
First of all, team is almost – they start to press a little bit in those situations, and I think perhaps maybe that's where they're at right now when, you know, there's runners in scoring position with two outs, and they know this is our opportunity to kind of break it open – and they don't come through. So you do start to, like, everyone kind of feels it in the dugout, like they start to press a little bit. They just kind of relax, breathe a little bit, and just take that same approach. However, Aaron Nola is really good, right? I mean, this guy is such a competitor. He was making he makes quality pitch after quality pitch in tight spots. And that's just the thing that jumped out at me tonight watching him. I love watching him pitch, quite frankly. It's like watching a really good dart player, right? If you ever, or a really good pool player. I mean, there's just so much feel from this kid and so much pitchability. It's fun to watch, really, even though he's shoving it up the Brewers, you know what. So it's like, I think in this situation, he just was making such quality pitches. He abused Jackie Bradley Jr. with a punch out earlier in that inning, where it was breaking balls below the zone and away, and then got JBJ like leaning out over, and then he busted him in with a nasty two-seamer at 92, perfectly placed over the – it was like basically headed for JBJ's right elbow and runs back front door over the plate for strike three. So, I mean, the guy is really good. I mean, he can really, really pitch. But to your point, does get to a point where – team probably starts pressing a little bit in the dugout during those spots, and they just need to be a little bit more consistent, just kind of relax in those spots, which is easier said than done, but they haven't been able to do that lately.
Yeah, so again, thought that was a huge moment in the game, at least be able to get one there, and obviously knowing how the game ended would have been really great to get one run there. But this team, again, does not give up. They're not going to go away easily. They get an RBI single from Arias in the eighth inning after the first two runners reach, making it a 6-2 game. And then Kane brought in another run on a fielder's choice. And then JBJ came back after that strikeout, like you talked about earlier, in the sixth inning. He got a big two-run homer, making it a 6-5 game. And then you go to the ninth, and Wong and Arias start off that inning, and they hit two really hard balls just right at Didi Gregorius. Just really unfortunate, two quick outs. But again, this team does not give up. They get a couple of bloop hits from Pablo Reyes and Travis Shaw to put runners on the corners with two outs. But then JBJ flew out to left to end it. So another tough loss, one-run game. Comeback falls just short. But they got to quit putting themselves in these holes early, and they got to take advantage of the opportunities early in the game. That's really coming back to haunt them right now. We're going to get into some more of the bigger moments of this game. Before we do that, let me remind you, this show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. They have a wide variety of flavors, not just your regular chocolate, cookies and cream, and all those regular flavors, which are still some of my favorites that I enjoy. But they have a bunch of different flavors as well, from mint and the dark chocolate raspberry, toffee, coconut flavors. There's just a lot of interesting flavors, cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a unique taste, something that tastes good, and they're not hard as a rock, which I appreciate. Have a soft middle that's very easy to chew and easy to get down. So you can take these as a meal replacement before workout, after a workout, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me. You can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein, not a lot of carbs involved, so it's a good treat for you to be able to have, and they taste amazing. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to builtbar.com today, try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to builtbar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. It's getting close to Mother's Day, and this episode is also brought to you by Blue Nile and their 10-10 collection. This is a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 10-10 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Ring sure to bring joy into her life using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana. 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, like I said, once again, coming up this weekend. Don't forget, guys, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and is fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. So, Vinny, a couple of big takeaways from this game I really want to get into, and mainly it's the defense. And look, this defense is improved. It's really good. If you go to FanGraphs, they actually have the best defensive rating out there, according to FanGraphs, and the third most defensive runs saved. That was coming into Tuesday's game. But the majority of those positive numbers are coming from Omar Narvaez, Colton Wong, and Jackie Bradley Jr. Luis Urias and Daniel Vogelbach, as you would expect with Vogie, have below average metrics, according to FanGraphs. We talked about Urias the other day and some of the throws he's made. Even a couple of his throws on Tuesday night were a little sketchy. I know one of them, Vogie had to jump up for a routine play in front of him, routine throw like you talked about the other day that he tends to struggle with. But they have 18 errors on the year and 20 unearned runs after Tuesday's game. Vinny, that's really hurting this team. It seems like whenever they make an error, it turns into something huge for the other team.
I really don't know what to say about that, just because I do think, five errors now by Urias, which are like totally routine. And so it's almost like every time a ground ball gets hit to him where he doesn't have time to take that second shuffle, you're kind of holding your breath and wondering if he's going to sail one. And so that's pretty concerning for me. And I'll just stick with that idea just because it is. Shaw's error tonight, I mean, ball is smashed. I mean, he's been so reliable. I don't think that his defense is a concern for me. But to your point, you can't give away free outs. Philadelphia is a really hard place to come into and beat them. For some reason, it always just feels like they have huge home field advantage. I don't know if the metrics back that up or not. But it just feels it feels like a hostile place to go in and play. So if you give the Phillies, and they're a good team, they're beatable, but we talked about, but they're a good team. So if you give them free outs, they're going to take advantage of it. So they're a team that's going to put the ball in place. So you are going to get those blue pits, like, you know, we talked about them getting, so there is a little bit of luck involved there, but it's also, you know, that's what that does, right? Putting the ball in play, battling, fighting pitches off, and gives you a chance to get those bloops. So you give away free outs, and that's what'll happen. So yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything else to say about that. I do think Travis Shaw's been pretty reliable at third base, though.
Yeah. So you mentioned Urias, he has those five errors. They're all throwing errors. So I don't know, Vinny, what I know you said you don't really have anything else to say about it, but what do you do with that? I mean, there's clearly an issue there. I mean, is this something, I'm sure you can work on it, but I mean, how do you work on that mid-season? You got a guy, you know, he's making the plays. He doesn't have any fielding errors, knock on wood. He's getting to the balls, but these throwing errors are a problem.
Yeah. It's the ones where he has time to think about it. And it's the ones where he doesn't have time to take a second shuffle, if that makes sense. So it's the one kind of maybe one step to his right, or the one where it's not to his left, if that makes sense. So I don't know how you work through that, to be honest. I know that Robin Ventura had throwing problems, believe it or not, and he won multiple gold gloves, I believe. But so what he did was he threw every single ball on the run. But I don't know if you can do that at shortstop. I know Urias is actually pretty good when he's been throwing balls on the run, and he hasn't had time to think about it. Good question, Jake. If you have a good answer, let me know, and then we can go ahead and forward that on to council if you want.
Yeah, you go ahead and ask that next time you're at the ballpark and you see him. We'll figure that out. But yeah, I mean that is concerning. Five errors obviously leads the team. They're all throwing errors, so there's an obvious issue there. And again, not sure how you get that corrected, but definitely need to clean that up. And then Travis Shaw with that error tonight, he has four now on the season, two fielding and two throwing. And then Keston Hira, he had three before he was sent down. So, those three guys in particular have really kind of hurt the Brewer. Like I said, I know Shaw's been solid for the most part over there at third. He seems to get a lot of opportunities over there at third. So, the four errors, aren't really a lot with all the opportunities that he's gotten. But certainly Urias, a little concerning, but 20 unearned runs, that just seems like a lot to me. I didn't really compare it against a lot of other teams, but 20 earned runs, that's a good bit of runs to give up in first month plus of the season that are unearned. The other thing I really wanted to mention from tonight's game was JP FireEyes and Vinny. I mean, the story keeps getting better and better. Like, I don't know, maybe the pessimist in me keeps thinking, okay, he's going to come back to reality. This can't be real, what we're watching. The performance on Tuesday night, I don't want to overstate it, but I think this was the best bullpen performance we've seen all year. And that includes Hader and Devin Williams or whoever else. I mean, he was filthy. They weren't touching him. They talked about on the broadcast, his changeup was moving like a Devin Williams changeup. It was just nasty. We hadn't really seen that from him before. So, I mean, the legend of JP FireEyes and continues to grow, Vinny.
Yeah, he's really good. The kid has really transformed himself into a legit back end leverage reliever. And I do think it has a lot to do, and you can attribute a lot of the success to that changeup. I mean, it really is diving. It's really has a lot of like running action. It's got great arm speed with it. Hitters can't tell if it's a fastball or a changeup. It looks like a split finger. It looks like watching Hector Neris, a split finger, nasty split finger fastball last night. It looks similar to that. Doesn't necessarily look like the airbender just because it's Devin Williams' airbender, just because it's not like, it doesn't look like it has that screwball type spin on it and doesn't get through it the same way with the really pronating the wrist and turning it over like Devin Williams does. But it's got just such good action on it, and it looks exactly like the fastball of the hand. So I do think the transformation, he's got three weapons. He's got a deceptive fastball where guys are late on it, and then now he's creating a ton of doubt in the hitter's mind with that really good changeup. And so as long as he continues to execute, I mean, the pitches in a vacuum, when you look at them all together, like all by themselves, are really good pitches. So as long as he continues to execute each one, I don't see this turning out any different. Obviously he's going to give up a run at some point, but he's going to be a real good option for Craig Counsell in the back end of the bullpen for the rest of the year.
Yeah, definitely exciting there for JP. Love seeing that guy just kind of come out of nowhere, local guy, and just dominating the way he is. And it's legit. Again, you keep waiting for him to regress, and it's not happening. It's legit at this point, you can say. Next, we'll talk about the Yelich injury and Wednesday's game. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.ag. They are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And even though the football season might be over, you got the NBA, NHL, and the Major League Baseball seasons all in full swing. But betonline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser today and sign up to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus, 50, when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so Vinny, I failed to mention this at the top, but obviously some depressing news on Tuesday with Christian Yelich going back on the IL. Certainly hate to see that for the former MVP. Vinny, how concerned are you about Yelich at this point?
I am concerned. I think he's getting – obviously he's getting older, but he's got like this I don't know. To me, it just looks like he's got one of those bodies that is prone to injury. I don't know if that looks – if it looks the same to you or to anybody else. With that said, he's, you know, top five player on the entire planet. So you just kind of have to manage him, I think, like going forward. It just looks like he's just – big, long, length, gangly, like type of athlete, type of mover, where it's like, okay, he's going to have back problems or he's going to have whatever problem, you know. It just, I don't know. It's just a feel for me when I watch him move around the field, watch him play. So it is concerning though, that like, is he 28, 29 now? Check me on that. But yeah, as he gets a little bit in, you know, he's in his prime right now, but as soon as he gets out of that, the prime, like, you know, definitely have to manage his body, but it's 100%. It's a concern and he needs his bat in the lineup.
Yeah. He's 29. He'll turn 30 this December. So again, I'm just a little over 30 myself. The back injuries are for real and they're not easy to bounce back from. So it's definitely concerning. Or Yelich.
You're a better athlete though.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Yeah, I'm running around after two kids, Vinny. I'm definitely a better athlete at this point.
I believe it.
But yeah, it's definitely concerning. I mean, it's your best player. You got to have him. He's your catalyst in the middle of the offense. So, you know, better, you know, to be precautious with it now, and hopefully you have him ready for the second half of the season and into the postseason. But you just hope this isn't anything that's going to linger throughout, you know, not just this year, but I mean, he signed with Milwaukee through 2028. And you know, that becomes a little concerning as well. If you got a player that's starting to break down at 30, and I'm not saying he is or anything, but certainly, you know, worrisome to say the least for Yelich, but hopefully he's able to come back again. Hopefully he'll be strong for the second half of this season. Then quickly,
I think you just have to monitor him and kind of give him some extra days off every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that looks like, but that's all I meant by that. You know. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, everybody keeps talking about the fact the DH is most likely coming next year. That'll be huge for him. His defense has gone down in the outfield, but the Brewers also have a lot of candidates for that DH spot. But that'll help, you know, in the future, giving him, you know, some rest away from the field, like Benny's talking about here or there, just kind of monitoring that load. And then just very quickly on Wednesday, we'll have Freddie Peralta going up against former Brewer Chase Anderson. Brewers now on a 3-game losing streak. So looking for Freddie to, you know, do it. He's pretty much done all year and just be dominant. Hopefully the Brewers come up with some of those big hits that they're just missing out on. But I like the Brewers' chances on paper to get this game and start to try to even this series out. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers. Your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.